And it's a joy. As I've already mentioned, I'll just reiterate just a little bit, though. I'm excited about just meeting together with God's people, and I'd like for us to fulfill this at the end of the service. As I said, we're going to do something. I don't know when we've done it, not since I've been here. We'll have a short business meeting after the service. We'll vote on a mission item that I'm excited about. But I want you to fulfill this idea of meeting together, and that is, before you leave, I'd like for you to get a prayer request from somebody, not specifically, you may already know, but I just would like for you to endeavor to say, I'm going home knowing that I need to pray for something going on in somebody's life. Maybe you already know the situation, maybe it's just they need encouragement, or you already know they struggle with some health issues that are ongoing or whatever, but I'd like for you to go out with an agenda item of your own to say, I'll be praying this week for that. Now, I appreciate many of you send me notes or texts and say, I'm praying for you, and I certainly appreciate that. I need all of it I can get, but I want you to do that, but also pray for somebody as you leave today, because that's when the church comes together. That's really what we're doing. We're coming to see what others need, and we are supporting one another, praying one for another. The Bible says, bearing one another's burdens. So I want to give you that assignment before we get started. I want you to also, if you would, remember me and Amy and I will be traveling. I'm going to preach at camp all week this week in Arkansas. We'll bring back Allie, our youngest, and she'll be done with the summer for her time there of serving. And so I want you to be praying. Please pray for us. We'll leave and we'll be here tonight. Brother Dan will be preaching. I'd like for you to come. I know he'll preach a great message. Brother Daniel will be leading the singing. Brother Kyle will be taking care of a few things too. And so please come and support them. And you'll have a wonderful service. We'll stop on the road and head to church. And then we'll travel on to Arkansas and get there in good time tomorrow. So please pray for us. I appreciate that. Well, I think that's all I wanted to give you as far as announcements, but we're certainly thankful to be in church this morning. If you would look in your Bibles at 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, you don't have to go too far there. As you find your place in 1 Samuel chapter 7, I did hear this story about this mom and wife. She invited some folks over to dinner, and boy, was it a big spread. She was going to have a big crowd over, several folks, but they had several kids, and she was just really overwhelmed. You remember that commercial where a long time ago somebody, the lady was in the kitchen working, or the man, I can't remember, the lady's in the kitchen working, but it was a real easy meal, and so she just threw flour in her face to make it look like she's really engaged in it. Well, this was not that way. This really, she was. It was hard at work. It was a lot of work. She was pressured, and she thought, oh, my. Well, finally, it got to a place where they would go, and you know how you do, ladies. You go to all that work, and then everybody gets there, and they look at this big old spread, and they say, wow, look at all this. Oh, that was nothing. No. Nothing. You were nearly cussing out your whole family before they got there, but this is nothing. No, nothing. About like some of you came to church this morning, we were fighting like cats and dogs and in the car, and you said, I can't believe you forgot this. Well, if you hadn't taken so long there, how much hair do you have? How long does it take you to get that ready? Well, not near as long as it takes to put your face on, and all of these comments back and forth, but then you open the door when you get to the parking lot. Hey, brother, it's so good to see you. You've been fighting the demons in the car, but when you get out, it's so good to see you. Praise the Lord, and it's a beautiful day. I think it's going to rain. But nonetheless, that's the way this mom was doing, and she was having such a fit while she's getting ready and just at the wit's end. And finally, the company all got there, and they all sat down, and she asked her little six-year-old, she said, oh, honey, why don't you pray for us before we eat? She said, oh, mommy, I wouldn't know what to say. Oh, yeah, you would. You'll figure it out. She said, yes, just go ahead and pray for us. Oh, mommy, I'm afraid. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know what to say. And she said, well, just say what you hear mommy say. She'll say, okay, I will. And so everybody bowed heads, and she said, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to this meal? So be careful. Your kids are going to get the best of you if you're not careful. So. Well, I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and we're going to look at verse number 3, 4, 5, and 6. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel. Samuel's the man. He's the preacher man, the prophet, the guy that's calling it, so to speak. But here's what he says, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods, and Ashtaroth, which is a god, among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together unto Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. We'll look back at that in just a little bit. And fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. I want to preach for a little while about returning to the Lord. Returning to the Lord. I want to thank each of you for coming. I failed to mention, you know, we're on the radio, that we're blessed to be of that. If you're listening on the radio, this is a live broadcast from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if you're watching via live stream or maybe on Facebook Live, I challenge you to share those, and I challenge all of us. I want my life, I'm trying to give it just to get the word out. So if you all will help us, everybody in here and online, with sharing posts and sharing things, we're just all about getting the message out. That's all we're here for. And so, but back to our passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7. In the chapters leading up to this, we find that Israel is in a great, great strait, in a great trouble. They had treated the Ark of God, you know, that was the special thing that where the presence of the Lord went, the Ark of God, they treated it like a good luck charm. They had just started thinking that, well, if we've got that, then we're set. Much like somebody would have which is nothing wrong with this, they say a cross on an emblem on their necklace or something, maybe have some kind of jewelry and think, boy, as long as I've got that, well, you may get in just as much trouble with that as you do without it. But they started treating the Ark of God as a good luck charm. But not only that, Eli's sons, one of the preacher's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they die in battle, and then the ark is eventually taken. Stories given about it in the chapters preceding it. The Philistines sin with the ark, and eventually it makes its way back. But this is right after that time when the baby is born, and they name the baby Ichabod, meaning the glory is departed. I'm just trying to paint the picture to say it's a wicked day in that day and age in which they were living. But I got thinking about this morning. I was meditating on some of these thoughts, and that is this. Sometimes we get thinking that this is the only bad time there's ever been. Now, but don't get me wrong. It's wicked out there. It's a lot of stuff going on out in the world that's certainly anti-Bible, but anti-your family and anti-your marriage and anti-everything that's good and wholesome. Whatever's good, it's against it out there in the culture. But you see, this isn't the first time when people have run headlong against what God wanted them to do. And the case in which we're finding ourselves here is one of those. We find God's people in quite a tight spot. We find that their hero is gone. Eli is dead. And we find that the national pride is really, really low. They're down, dragging their bottom lip, so to speak. And the morale is bottomed out. As I already mentioned, Ichabod, the name of Eli's grandson, is given. But it also depicts what the state of the nation is in. The glory has departed. And it's almost as if, please don't put me on this microphone, but for effect, it's almost like Samuel jumps up to the microphone and taps it, which they wouldn't have had in that day, and taps it and says, now you all hear this. And then he gives them the message that's right here that I'm going to give out to you today. I'd like to return some of those thoughts that that Samuel gives to the people of God on that day. He's going to tell them how to fix the problem, and I want to replay his advice. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you'd settle our hearts. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd do in us what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Samuel steps up to that microphone, so to speak, and he tells the people of Israel some things. In that dark and wicked day, Ichabod is written over the door of the country of Israel. The ark has been taken and now it's been brought back, but still not being used the way it's supposed to be. That we see that the national pride is low. We see that the wickedness is high, and we see that they're in a fix. And Samuel steps up to the microphone and he tells those people, he said, if you want to see some good things happen, here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to return to the Lord. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, Samuel tells those folks, he spake on the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord. You see, this group of people, they know what it's like to have God work. They know what it's like to have seen His miracles. They've heard the stories. They know what it's like to have the Almighty step in and do what only the Almighty can do. We see that as Eli back in the day had given his heart to the Lord and gone forward, these people know what it is to have God's working, but they also unfortunately know what it's like when they grow cold, because the Bible says back in chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the Lord of God, the word of God was precious," meaning it was rarely given in those days because there was no open vision. And so they had gotten to a place where they used to know how to work, live for God and hear from God and have what God wanted. But now they'd gotten to a place where the glory was departed. There was no open vision. The word of God wasn't coming like it was had been in one day. And they found themselves spiritually destitute. My friend, if you don't look around this nation and yea, this world, and see that we're not spiritually active like we used to be in this country and in this world, then you're just simply not looking. But the Samuel, the man of God, the preacher man steps up and he says, "Listen, you can get back to where you need to be if ye return." So first of all, I give you this. You need to, number one, return to the Lord. Like the prodigal son topped that hill when he was coming back to that house and said, "All I've got to do is get back to daddy. All I've got to do is get back there. But my father has plenty to eat and to spare. All I've got to do is get back." And my friend, I believe that if the nation that we live in, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, given at that day to the people of Israel, but the principle would still lie true with us today. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." My friend, I do not believe that you personally or this church or this nation has gone too far to what we could hear from the Lord if the Lord would hear from us. See, first of all, he said you need to return unto the Lord. But not only that, look further in verse number 3. We also see that you need to remove the strange gods. Verse 3, the Bible says, "If you turn unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you." Then put them away. Samuel tells them to put them away. And they do, verse number 4. But this was not a new command to them. Exodus chapter 20 told them in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And the Bible says that again and again the people of God would go and out harvesting false gods with the little g of the people that were around them, and they would start worshiping those little gods. And Samuel said to the people, if you want to see God do something, not only come back to where he is, but get all the other junk out of there. This is not new preaching. This is exactly what you and I need to do in our lives. When it is that we get right with the Lord and we decide that we want to have the Lord be favorable toward us, we find ourselves getting rid of what God doesn't want us to have. I believe, or historians say, and I believe it's true, that Ashtaroth was specifically named because this was their most beloved idol. There was lots of little gods, little g's, lots of idols and things that they'd had, statues, but this was their favorite. And that's why God names it specifically. You see, I could come in here and swing on to everybody and tell them we're going to preach about the sanctity of life and say that God gives precious life from conception all the way to natural death. And I think everybody in this crowd would say, "You're right," and I would. I'll preach it. That's good. I could come in here and I could preach against the movements that are sweeping our nation today, where people can't tell whether somebody's a boy or a girl, and they say, "Well, we don't even know if they know." We could preach about that and just preach strictly where the scripture says God created the male and female, created he them, and everybody in the church would say amen. We could come in here and I believe truly, I was going to say everything, I believe that there's no place for a Christian in the day and age in which we live to be drinking and running around and bringing alcohol in. You say, "Well, what about the sicknesses and things like that? We've got so many medications around. I don't think you need any of those others." And I could preach all of these things and people might say, "Wonderful, I believe, I agree, amen to all that." But let me tell you where we have troubles. When you start preaching what the Bible says about how we behave toward our brother when we have aught against them, and then you all of a sudden watch the crowd get very, very still. I've noticed this when I go to preach camp meetings and things. As long as the preachers are preaching against things that nobody in that room does, it's so easy to get a powerful load of amens. But when we start preaching about something that we may be engaged in, then, as they say, we're hoeing too close to the corn, and then it gets us quiet. I'm saying, my friend, this morning, is that we've got to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. If there's things in your life, not just through preaching, but you're reading and the Holy Spirit works in your heart, and when the Lord puts a burden on you to stop or start something, start or stop it. Matthew Henry, the great commentator of yesteryear, said this: true repentance strikes at the darling sin, meaning that thing that we hate to give up. But Samuel, the prophet, says to the people, yes, return to the Lord. And then he not only goes to say that, but remove the strange gods. And then we see in verse 3, it continues to go on, and then have a readiness to seek the Lord. He says, if you put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. He said, prepare your hearts. Prepare them like we do the Lord's Supper here at the church. Or prepare them like you do for your house. If you're having a guest that comes over, you get the trash out and you get the cleaning in and you get it right like it's supposed to be. Like this, if you're a hunter, prepare like a deer hunter does on the big hunt. You know, I think that some of those people up in those tree stands, they must be the most righteous people there are. You say, why would that be? Well, I'll tell you, when you're out there waiting for that big buck to come through, you're confessing sins that you did. You're confessing sins you didn't do. You're confessing sins you never even knew about. You're confessing sins of your family. You're confessing sins of your neighbor that you don't even like him. Oh, Lord, forgive us for all these things. Why? I'd love to sure have that big buck come through there, dear Lord. Put him up on my wall. And may we seek the Lord, repent of our sins, and get the things right in our life like that person that desperately needs the Lord to work. Because, my friend, whether we know it or not, we desperately need the Lord to work. And what Samuel tells the people there, he tells them, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. I read again in preparation for this message, but I've read it many times over the years. Just a couple of blocks from where Ground Zero is, where the Twin Towers were, on the corner of Fulton Street and William Street, there was a church there that was going to follow suit with a lot of the other churches because the demographics was changing that area back in the mid-1800s. And most churches were going uptown where the wealthy people that used to live there were moving, and this church wanted to do that, but they also wanted to leave a presence there. And they called a young man named Jeremiah Lamphere. And Jeremiah Lamphere literally went door to door to door to try to give the gospel to people, try to get them to come to meetings, try to have prayer meetings, try to have ministries for the children, just much like a church should be still doing. And so Lamphere went through all of that, but very little success. He thought, as almost a last-ditch effort, as they left him there to try to be an influence on that area, and the demographics was going down, crime was going up, and it was just a drunkenness was running rampant. It was just a bad area. He had an idea to have once a week to have a prayer meeting from 12 to 1. He had the first prayer meeting, put signs, placards out, and said, just come and pray. He had the idea that you could come and pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole hour. It wouldn't matter, but you would just come. And they had some rules about what they would talk about. They didn't want somebody coming in and just taking over and speaking for the 30 minutes. They came to pray. And so he started that first meeting. He started with one, counting him. But he thought, I'm here, and so I'm going to pray. The doors of the chapel were open, and so he prayed. At the conclusion of that, about a half an hour through, a few more came in. And at the conclusion of that, there were six, counting him, five other men. And so they prayed, and true to their word, they went on. And he started having that weekly meeting, and then that weekly meeting grew into a daily meeting, and that daily meeting just continued to grow and grow. And as he continued to advertise the noonday prayer meeting, they would have people that would come, and they would experience that because they would be down in that area of town, but they really didn't live there. And then there were little offshoots of that prayer meeting all around that region. It got to be where there were hundreds of those 100 prayer meetings like that in that area. And so it's estimated that in the height of that Fulton Street revival, which they deemed it later, that there were 50,000 New Yorkers that would pray in that noon hour. Now, if you know anything about history, that's getting ready to get up onto the Civil War. That was about 1857. And it was getting ready to be in the Civil War. And it was as if God positioned that Fulton Street Revival to usher in a lot of workings of the Lord in that region. It said over an 18-month span, there were nearly 1 million people saved in America because of the great economic depression, because of what was going on in the nation. But then as America turned, even though we were turned against each other, we were both turned to the Lord in the Civil War, many folks were. And there was a great mission emphasis that swelled, and they were able to send missionaries. But it was because they readied their heart to serve the Lord. And I think that sometimes why we don't have a great working of the Lord when we get our Bible out, why we don't have a great working of the Lord when we get down on our knees, is that we're more like a microwave than we are a slow roaster. We get down on our knees or sit down in our chair and we open up our Bible and say, God, I got 15 minutes. Bless me if you can. We don't say that because that'd be too ragged, that'd be too rough. But that's somehow sometimes the way we act. You know what it's like for your mamaw to cook something that simmers sometimes through the night and she's got everything prepared or she's up early on Sunday morning and it's simmering in that slow roaster, that crock pot, whatever it is. And by the time you get home, now your stomach might be growling like three bears fighting together over a piece of meat. But by the time you got home, there's just something about that slow roasting of what she's got good for you in the pot. And my friend, I'm afraid that sometimes we've just gotten so used to things being immediate that we won't wait for the Lord in our prayer closet or in our quiet place or our individual time with Him. But what Samuel told the people that day, he says, you've got to have a readiness to seek the Lord. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. And I'm just thinking this morning, as I was trying to pray and see what the Lord would have us dwell on as a gathering of believers, I believe we can take great instruction from Samuel when he says in verse 3, if you do return, if you're going to return, then put away the strange gods. Now, none of us have idols in our back room. We don't open up closet doors and have an idol there. I don't think anybody in this room would. But I do challenge you to think about things that we place too much emphasis on. If I'm on my phone or in a book or something for 20-to-1 ratio from what I'm in the Bible, no wonder I can't get the peace of the Lord on my life and in my heart. He says then, remove the strange gods and have that readiness to seek the Lord. And then I give you this last one. My time's getting away from me. Look in verse number 6. I want to explain just a little bit about that. I give you this last one. Renew the covenant. They gathered together in Mizpah, just a region there, just a city, and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. As you read that, you think, why would they do that? Well, that drawing the water and pouring it out was a sign of I'm broken and poured out in my spirit to the Lord. I'm pouring everything that's good and wholesome. I'm just pouring it out. It's a sign of brokenness. And what the people did that day was they drew that water and poured it out before the Lord, and as if to say, Lord, we're poured out before you. We know that we can do nothing without you but what you come and minister amongst us, so we give it to you. And then they fasted, the Bible says, on that day, and that's a sign of sacrifice. That's simply giving up an earthly blessing to get a spiritual blessing, or to try to get in, just to show the Lord and prove to ourselves that we're serious about it. At Jeremiah Lamphere's, the Fulton Street Revivals, many people would have come to that hour, and not only did they come and pray for that hour, but they purposely left their lunchbox at home that day, or their pail, and because they said, I'm going to pray, I'm going to give up that physical blessing because I want to just give myself to the Lord. And that's what these are doing that day. They're pouring it out to show they're broken, and they're fasting, skipping the meal, so the sign of sacrifice. Much like many of you, if you wear a wedding ring and you see that, that's just a sign of that covenant that you make together and you commit. And these people renewed that covenant. They gathered together. They drew the water. They poured it out, and they fasted on that day. And they've said, "We've sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel. Now, we don't have time to get into it. Maybe we'll preach it a little bit before, but past that is when they see some of the workings of the Lord come, and that's when they later get to put that stone up and call it the Ebenezer. But I want to leave you with it, what I've come to deliver today, and that is we need to return to the Lord. I hope and pray that nobody in the room thinks that I'm preaching to somebody else, because if you do think that, then you're wrong, because I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. We need to return to the Lord. You say, "John, Brother John, I already know the Lord. I believe it. I understand, as do I. But I believe we need to return, put away the things in our lives that aren't pleasing to Him, have that readiness to seek Him, and then renew that covenant. Say, "Lord, I haven't gotten out of the army, but I'm re-upping anyways. Lord, I'm yours, and I have been now for several years, but I'm just recommitting to follow you." And if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and there's anything that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you in that time of pushing away the things that shouldn't be in your life, I challenge you to not take that as a coincidence. That thought didn't come to your mind just because it happened to be there, that I believe the Lord brings it. I don't have to do that. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's. So I challenge you, if you're saved this morning and the Lord has put a notion on your heart, that you be faithful to that notion and that calling that God has put on you, and you do it. If there's something you need to give up, if there's something you need to take on, there's something you need to fix, there's somebody you need to go to, whatever it is, let's renew that covenant. Let's get the junk out. Let's return to the Lord. And then, if you're here today and you're not saved, can I tell you why this world's falling apart? This world's falling apart, as they say, because we haven't put Jesus Christ in his rightful position. And can I tell you why many people's lives are falling apart? Because they personally haven't received Jesus Christ as their Savior and put Him in His rightful position. And if you're here today and your life seems to be falling apart, it's not that you need a new makeover. It's not that you need a new lease on life. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and let Him come into your heart and into your life and save you. And if you've never done that, then today is the day that I would recommend full force, wholeheartedly, that you receive Christ as your Savior. Would you bow your heads together with me? I'm challenging each of you this morning to return to the Lord. When our school systems in some of these big cities seem more like indoctrination camps than education institutes, we need to return to the Lord. When our leaders, some of them can't tell the difference between what's a man and what's a woman, we need to return to the Lord. And my friend, as Christians, we need to return to that fervent walk with Him. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me if you're able as the ladies play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. There's been others that have come and they've just prayed, maybe for a need they have, maybe for something going on in their life, maybe they prayed for our nation. I challenge you and invite you to come. Would you just simply slip out of your seat? And one reason I love the altar, you say, does a person have to go to the altar? No. But some of the best things in my life have happened at an altar. I joined a church. I got assurance of my salvation. I announced it, that is. I got married. I got baptized after the decision at the altar. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's already confirmed it in your heart. We've got some that are coming today, and you'd like to come and join those that are joining Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's down at the front of the pulpit. night with in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge, would you simply step out and come? If there's anybody in this room, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, I have nothing beyond nothing that's more important to tell you than you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you grew up in church. Perhaps you've served in church. You're a member of this church. But you still have some doubts about whether or not I'm born again. It's such a simple thing. We sometimes stumble over it. But we want you to get victory over that. She'll play through one more verse. If God's dealing with your heart about that or any other issue, I challenge you to come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what I'd like to do is it would be just a little different today because of a meeting we want to have, and I'll give some instructions on that in just a moment. But I'm so thankful for Brother Shad, Miss Danny Teague, that have come, and they are saved, and they baptized them and their sweet daughter Sammy, and they want to join the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm so excited about that. We're so grateful that God has brought them our way, but we want to see them join, and so we'd need a motion that we accept them, Brother Marty Scroggs, and we'd need a second, Daniel Wakefield. All in favor with that, would you say aye? All opposed, same sign? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's done. And then just the other night, Brother Guy and Davina King, who have been friends of Amy and I's for years and years, they came and joined, and their daughter, Nicole, right here by Amy, she also saved and baptized, would like to come and join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church along with her mom and dad. And we're so thankful for that. She knows the Lord and has got a wonderful testimony. But we'd need a motion to do that as well. All right, Brother Scott Martin, we need a second. All right, Leroy right there. And all in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. All right. Well, wonderful. As soon as the business meeting's over, we will, well, the business meeting I want you to come for, then we'll have folks shake hands with them and fellowship. But here's what we're going to do. It's 11:59, and I know that I try to be out on time, you know, but we've got about a five-minute video from one of our missionaries, and I mean this from my heart. If you need to slip on because of time constraints, then that's completely fine. But so please don't feel bad. There's some that are slipping out to the get the fellowship ready. And I do want to say, Brother Daniel already mentioned, if you're in your 30s or part of your family is. Now, Bob Edwards tried to tell me he was in his 30s, but I said, Bob, I do not believe that. He was lying right there in the church house. And but if you're in your 30s or some of your family is, we've got plenty for you. We would love for you to stay and be our guest. And it's just right across the parking lot or down the hall. And this is just a way for us to fellowship. There's no agenda items, nothing like that. We're just going over to fellowship and eat and the things we like to do the most. So we'd love for you to stay. And you can stay for 5-10 minutes or stay the whole time that we're there. We'll have a great time together. So that's my invitation specifically to you. So what I'd like to do is, while we're standing, if you need to slip out, then please feel free to do so. But otherwise, if you're able to stay for about 5 or 6 more minutes, then we're going to see this video, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you from one of our good missionaries in the United Kingdom.
Hello, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I want to thank you for the opportunity to introduce you what God is doing here in the United Kingdom. We are the Mullins family. My wife and I have been serving here in the United Kingdom for 8 years. And we thank the Lord that we can say that we are sent from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as our home church. I was 12 years old when I began to attend at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're thankful for God's leading in my life. And it was there I was called to preach, and it was there my wife and I were sent out to come here to the United Kingdom. We're thankful for your faithful support through the years. And there are many things that God has used the church people there in prayer and labors and giving and working so hard to see the gospel go forth here in the United Kingdom. And we're glad that you're an essential part of that. We do want to let you know about what God is doing here, just to introduce those who may not be familiar with where I'm at. I'm at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. My wife and I currently lead in the work here at Beaches Road. It was the first of nine churches that we've been able to see established. Two of those churches, and we've helped plant this year already. But here at Beaches Road, it was the first back in 2006. And it was here this building was scheduled to be demolished and turned into a pay and display car park, like many other chapels in the United Kingdom. And it was in that burden that God led my wife and I here to the UK to go forth and see these chapels continuing to preach the gospel and grow back with families and planting other churches and raising up laborers within this country to do the work of God. And we thank the Lord that God is doing that. Pastor Herbin contacted me and asked me to let you know a few of our ministry needs, things that are currently happening in the work and labors here at Beaches Road. And I do want to let you know and take you over to our buses. And we're thankful to God that we have a bus ministry here that's bringing and nearly 80 to 100 children every week to Sunday school. We take them out for youth rallies and children's clubs and on gospel missions and trips all around the country. And we're thankful for our buses. And so I'll take you over there just right now. God bless. Thank you. Here in the United Kingdom, one of the special opportunities we have in serving the Lord is the bus ministry. We're very thankful being in the edge of Birmingham, a highly populated area. Bus ministry is essential in getting children and families the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through these past couple years, we've had some difficulties in our bus ministry. We've had two buses stolen, two buses break down, but we're thankful for the ones that we have here. But pray with us. We're in need of another minibus, and we have this double-decker bus, which we enjoy picking up children on, and other minibuses, but this yellow minibus, one of our special bus routes to an area called Brickhouse and Springfield. And this yellow minibus is nearly 20 years old, and it's on its way out. Pray with us that God can provide a new minibus for the bus ministry here at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. Hello, Buffalo Ridge. We want to introduce to you our family here in the United Kingdom. We are the Mullins family. My name is Levi. This is my wife, Brittany. And we grew up there at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and our family is there. You might know Steve and Debbie Mullins and Barney and Carol Bear. And those are our family members, and we're so thankful to God to be a part of the church family there at Buffalo Ridge. I do want to introduce to you my family, and my family's grown since maybe some of you have seen us the last time. And I'll introduce my oldest son, and he'll say his name and our other two boys' names.
My name is Charlie, and this is Oliver Max Edward.
Very good. So these are our three boys, and we're very thankful to God for our three healthy boys and serving with us here in the United Kingdom. We're standing in the Good Shepherd Hall. This is a ministry hall that is just over 100 steps from the chapel in which we are leading in church planting here in the United Kingdom. This was provided to us a few years back, and we're very thankful for this ministry hall. We have Sunday school for young people. We do a moms and toddler group on Wednesdays, and many times over 30 parents are here with their children as well. And it's a special time to introduce the families that have never heard of Jesus Christ at a young age. And then we also do our youth rallies here as well. And you'll see here a banner behind us. It's an old Sunday school banner. It says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And so we are thankful for the opportunity to point children and families to the Lord Jesus Christ in this ministry hall. Do pray with us. There is a great need since we've had it, and the heating system doesn't work very well in this building. So you can imagine for children's ministries, that gets tough during the winter time. And so please pray with us that we can supply a new heating system, and this winter where our moms and toddlers will be warm. Thank you for praying with us, and it's great for you to meet our family. God bless.
Give you a little breakdown. I met with the deacons some time back about these needs that they have, and we found out some specifics that they didn't share in that video as far as how much these different items will cost. And so we're looking at about $10,000 for a bus to get them back on the road, and about 80 to 100 children coming in, and they are doing it old school. And I hope that you caught that as it was mentioned, that they're now up to nine chapels. We've shown videos before. It's truly interesting story, miraculous, of how God has given them some buildings that were closed down, going to be used for other things, some pubs or different things. But if the church would take them, then they would also allow them to be, give them to them or sell them very cheaply for a gospel preaching station. And that's what they're doing. They're up to 9 now. And so we thank God for that. But one of the outreach they have is the bus ministry. So I'm looking at $10,000 to buy a bus, because we want them to continue on in that meeting or in that ministry. And then that meeting hall that they have, we found the heating system. We're estimating, they said, $5,000 to $7,000 to get that. And this is any new church plant. You say, well, why can't they raise the money? Well, there's really just not many of them. And I mean, the numbers are growing, but young Christians and people that are getting in, they don't have maybe the wherewithal, but then also the spiritual insight to see we need to help with that. And so we're taking our missionaries, we take great pride in helping them. And so we're estimating about $7,000 for a heating system. And then he didn't mention this, but one of his computers, his main computer, got stolen out of the back of the chapel. One of the cleaning ladies was in there, and it wasn't her, but the door was left open, and but somebody slipped in off the street and got it and took his stuff. So they need that. And then Brittany's going to start homeschooling, and so they have some other needs for a laptop. So I'm estimating $4,000 or $5,000 for computers, a printer, so they can do this homeschooling needs that they have, and then they have some other various needs. But so all of that being said, I'm going to ask Danny to come, and I'll tell you where the figure we landed on. I think about $25,000, which would take care of these items that they need. And I want these missionary grew up right here as Steve and Debbie's son and Barney and Carol's daughter. And regardless of that, they still need it. And we have the money and missions that we can do it. And I'd love to get that bus replaced and get it back on the road so that they can now continue to reach out and then help with those other needs as they come up. So Brother Danny, why don't you come and give us our little bit of insight on that.
The pastor and the deacons recommend that $25,000 from the mission fund be given to Levi and Brittany Mullins. I make this a motion.
I'm very excited. We are able to do it, and the missions we still have well over are, we want to get to a place where we keep about 6 months worth of our giving missions in the bank in case something would happen, the economy or whatnot, so our missionaries would be safe in that we'd have some reserve to keep them going, because I never want our missionaries to go unpaid. But we still have over that, and so this would work us down in that. But I feel like God is really blessing us and wants to be in this. So you've heard Brother Danny's motion from me and the deacons, and so if somebody would feel led to second that, Brother Larry Stover. There's somebody in the back, but my eyes are getting bad, so I can't see that far. So now I can. But all right, Brother Larry Stover seconds that. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. All right. Well, it's a wonderful thing, and we will now get to the favorite part, and that is close the business meeting. So we'd need a motion to close. John Young makes that motion. Nathan Foran seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All right. Well, wonderful to have you. I'm going to have everybody stand. We close that meeting, and we'll get that word to Brother Levi. And what a wonderful joy. It's 10 after 12. Thank you for sticking with us. And I do want you to not forget a couple things. If you're visiting with us, or you're a guest, or it's the first time you've been here, first time in a long time, there's a guest services counter right out in the lobby. Stop by and give them that card if you don't mind. It's on the side of your bulletin. If you don't have that, they've got some cards. We don't need all your information, but I'd love to get a letter out to you thanking you for coming. I got to meet several of you that we're so thankful for. And then don't forget, if you're in your 30s and you're able to stay for a few moments for a fellowship, hamburgers, hot dogs, whatever all that we have over there, please, it's our authentic invitation. Please come and stay with us, and we would certainly love to have you. Thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.